Hello and welcome to 10 Minute Mood. My name's Natalie Glazer. I'm a clinical psychologist and director of Sydney City Psychology. And I'm very excited that today we have Dr. Russ Harris with us to talk about acceptance and commitment therapy. Welcome, Russ.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Our pleasure. Thank you for coming. So for those of you who don't know Russ, I'll just introduce him. Russ is the author of the international best-selling self-help book, The Happiness Trap, and is a world-renowned trainer of acceptance and commitment therapy. Russ's background is in medicine, and he previously practiced as a GP before moving into different roles as a therapist and a coach and an author. So, Russ, to start off with, I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about acceptance and commitment therapy.
Yeah, sure. So this is a science-based model of therapy that is practiced in dozens of countries around the world by literally hundreds of thousands of therapists, coaches, counselors, doctors, nurses, and so forth. So it's a globally used model of therapy, and it's got a really good science base underneath it, over 600 published studies in peer-reviewed journals of a type called randomized controlled trials, which are the gold standard of scientific research, and over 3,000 published studies generally. So it's pretty good stuff with a lot of data to show its effectiveness. And it gets its name from one of its key messages, which is accept what's out of your personal control and commit to doing things that improve your quality of life.
Okay. And Russ, some of our listeners have probably heard of cognitive behavior therapy. I was wondering if you could tell me a bit about how ACT fits in with CBT.
Well, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, is an umbrella term for at least 30 different models of therapy. Sometimes people think of CBT as one specific model of therapy, and which is probably the best known one, that's got a strong emphasis on identifying negative thoughts and challenging them and disputing them and trying to replace them with more positive or realistic thoughts. So CBT kind of has these two different meanings. It refers to one very specific model of therapy or an umbrella term for many models. Now, in terms of the umbrella, ACT comes under that umbrella. ACT has been described as an existential, humanistic, mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a fairly good description, because ACT really has got parallels and overlaps with many other branches of therapy, not just CBT, but also existential and humanistic approaches. And it also has this kind of core emphasis on developing mindfulness skills.
An existential, humanistic, mindfulness-based cognitive behavior therapy. Wow, that's an interesting description. So when people are using ACT, they can be reassured that they are using CBT. People often get confused about that. So, Russ, if I came to you and I said I was feeling depressed, how would ACT help me? What would you do?
Well, there are many factors that play into depression. So, if we think about what's going on in depression, there's a lot of very difficult emotions, feelings showing up, and ACT teaches us unhooking skills to kind of unhook from those difficult emotions so they don't jerk us around, pull us all over the place, hold us down. We learn how to open up and make room for those difficult feelings, let them flow through us without sweeping us away. And it's not just emotions and feelings, it's also our thoughts, our cognitions. Lots of difficult thoughts show up in depression, negative judgments about myself and life and the future, and hopelessness and despair, lots of anxiety, lots of worries. And again, so ACT teaches us unhooking skills to kind of take the impact and power out of those thoughts. And again, just kind of let them come and go, a bit like leaves floating down a stream without getting too caught up in them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going back to your earlier question about differences between ACT and CBT, you know, there's no challenging or disputing of these thoughts. We don't get into debating whether they're true or false or positive or negative. We just learn to see these thoughts as words and pictures popping up inside our head. And instead of getting into a battle with them, we just kind of learn how to let them be there in the background and let them come and stay and go in their own good time, mm-hmm. while we focus our attention on living in the present moment and doing things that are important and meaningful, mm-hmm. which is another big factor in depression, what often happens. And, you know, it's like depression is different for everybody. You take 1,000 people with depression and they've got 1,000 different presentations. But one thing that we very commonly see is people lose touch with their values. Values are sort of your heart's deepest desires for how you want to treat yourself and others and the world around you, what you want to stand for in life, the sort of person you really want to be. And people lose touch with their values. And so part of ACT involves getting them back in touch with their values. What do you want to stand for in the face of all these challenges and problems? How do you want to treat yourself as you're going through this? How do you want to treat your loved ones and the other people in your life as you're grappling with this? And then using these values to guide and motivate you to basically do the things that make life better. Mm-hmm. So there's many, many things. And one final piece of the puzzle is learning how to focus and engage in the activities that you're doing. If you're all caught up in your depressing thoughts about how negative life is and how bad a person I am, then it's very hard to get any satisfaction or enjoyment from what you're doing. But if you can learn to focus on the activity itself and really engage in it, then it's a lot more satisfying and fulfilling. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it would be very helpful considering the last couple of years with the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a pandemic of depression and loneliness and anxiety out there right now. So very helpful for that. And of course, all the grief and loss that goes with it.
Yeah.
So another big part of ACT is self-compassion, learning how to acknowledge your pain, your suffering, your hardship, all the difficult stuff you're dealing with, and how to be there for yourself in a really kind and caring, supportive way.
Yeah. And now that things are opening up, I imagine people are experiencing some anxiety about getting out and about. So,
yes, well, I'm one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
So yeah, again, ACT teaches us how to unhook from that anxiety. Now, unhooking is a kind of made up word. It's not like a technical scientific word, but basically what typically happens is difficult thoughts and feelings, they kind of hook us. They get into us and they jerk us around and we can't get off the hook, and they either pull us into self-defeating patterns of behavior, whether that be drugs or alcohol, or in severe cases, self-harming and suicidality. Or the other way they hook us is they kind of hook our attention. They pull it away from what we're doing. They pull our attention out of what we're doing. And so earlier I mentioned mindfulness. And that's a fairly confusing term. A lot of people misunderstand what mindfulness is. They think it's a type of meditation. So these days I tend to talk about unhooking skills rather than mindfulness skills. Mm-hmm. Let's learn how to unhook from these difficult thoughts and feelings and bring our attention back to what we're doing and focus and engage in it fully. And you know, the cool thing is that ACT teaches us how to do that without meditation. I mean, meditation is great for people who like it, but a lot of people find it boring, tedious, really difficult to do.
Yeah.
So the ACT approach teaches us really quick, simple ways of learning mindfulness skills that can help us with this stuff.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's an excellent introduction to ACT. As this is a 10-minute podcast, we're going to have to wind up, but I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the new edition of the Happiness Trap that's coming out before we finish up.
Oh yes, absolutely. So the second edition of the Happiness Trap, available November the 1st in all good bookstores and also in some of the crappy bookstores. It's been 15 years since I wrote the first edition. And that was, I mean, that's just amazing. So a lot has changed over those 15 years. So this new edition, it's about 50% brand new material. It's a very different book. I thought it was just going to be a quick rewrite, but it turned out to be a mammoth project.
No, I bet it was. And thank you very much, Russ. That's been wonderful. Thank you for coming on our podcast.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of 10 Minute Mood. We would love to hear your feedback on future topics and what you're interested in hearing more about. So please leave a comment or send an email to let us know. And as always, if you or someone you care about would like extra support, our psychologists at Sydney City Psychology are available for online or in-person sessions. Give us a call or an email to discuss the options. Until next time, keep safe and well.